Let's open up our Bibles together. We're going to be in Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God.
Well, on the 26th of January this year in the city, there were three groups of people. Now, there was the crowd involved in the anti-immigration protests. There was also those involved in the protest for Invasion Day. And there was also those who were heading to the Queensland Performing Arts to watch the ballet of Alice in Wonderland. So anti-immigration, Invasion Day, and then that scary mob going to the ballet. Now, do you reckon you could tell them apart? You know, if on the day you mix them all together, could you have divvied them all out? I reckon you probably wouldn't have done too bad. Just look at their T-shirts and their slogans and what's written on their protest signs. Are they wearing a suit and a lovely dress? I mean, even the colour of their skin might be relevant in this case. And I say that because we're good at looking at people, what they look like and what they do, and we put people into all sorts of categories. The various type of people that make up this wonderful kaleidoscope, this smorgasbord of people in this diverse world we live in. But we come to Romans 8 today, and from verse 5, which is our focus today, from verse 5, as plain as day, it says there are only two groups of people. There are only two. And it doesn't matter what protest slogan you have on your T-shirt, whether you love the ballet, no matter what school you went to, what job you have, or your family, there are only two types of people. Verse 5, there are those who live according to the Spirit, or there are those who live according to the flesh. You know, you could think of humanity as one big cake. There is just one slice. And you're on one side or the other. So let's think about this first one. Those who live according to the flesh. And in your Bibles, let's have a read of it again from verse 5, where it says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Now, we saw this word flesh last week. This word flesh is not the stuff that sort of pops out over the top of your pants. This flesh is not what you look at in the mirror and you go, I wish I had less chins, less flesh. This word flesh, often in the Bible, is shorthand for our nature, our fallen sinful nature, that we have a default setting within us to serve ourselves and reject and rebel against God. This is our inheritance, our inclination, our orientation is to rebel against God and his good law. This is the idea that you never have to teach a child to do a wrong thing, do you? Schools never run a class on how to cheat, lie, and steal. We work that out just fine, thank you very much. And this is every person before they come into relationship with Jesus. This is every person who's not a Christian, a born-again Christian. I'll throw out a theological term, and this is the total depravity of humankind. Total depravity is this theological concept. It doesn't mean that every human being is as evil as they possibly can be, that we're all little Hitlers or something like that. But people, we have this fixed bias against the will of God. People instinctively, willingly turn against God. Philip Jensen is a Christian preacher and author from Sydney, and he tells a story of the time of a man who visits his church, and this visitor makes the remark that the Bible's view of humanity is just too bleak. And so Philip Jensen gives him a challenge. He says, well, okay, try being good just this week. And the guy says, yeah, right, no worries, I can do that. But then the next Sunday he comes back and Philip asks him, how'd you go? And the man had to sort of defend himself. He said, you know, well, you gave me an unrealistic expectation to be good. Well, it's just too open-ended. So Philip agreed to limit the challenge and he just said, well, okay, one thing, this week, don't lie. And the man said, I can do that. And then the next Sunday, this guy came back to church claiming, well, that challenge was just not fair. And Philip said, well, why not? You agreed to it. And the man confessed, yes, but this week I just started working as a real estate agent. You know, we like to think of humanity as just good and beautiful and loving, but I think when we get down to the specifics, I think we're a lot more realistic. And because this word about either living according to the Spirit or living according to the flesh, there's no gradation here. It's absolute. Well, for every person without Christ, without the Spirit, it means something else that's just as absolute. Because have a look there. It says it means death. It says it there, verse 6, the mind governed by the flesh is death. Now, for every person who's not believing in the saving work of Jesus, you know, if you haven't yet put your trust in Jesus, his work on the cross, well, there's spiritual death. And of course, we all face physical death. But for every person serving their sinful nature, their flesh, wanting to live separate from God's loving good rule, well, we end up getting what we sought, eternal separation from God. Eternal death. Jesus is the only one who can save us. Now, at this point, I want us to go to the other side of the two-way reality here. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds on what the flesh desires, or, verse 5, those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. I come back to how we tend to put people in a whole range of different boxes, don't we? There are those who went to a nicer school, and there are those who have a nicer job and a nicer car, and those who have a tendency towards being nicer. They just have this capacity for love and kindness. I'm sure you know people like that who aren't part of church. We see things that way, but the way God sees it, either the default position of the evil, self-serving human heart or Jesus who rescues us. And those who live according with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Again, either one or the other. So as Christians, we're supposed to have our mind set on what the Spirit desires. We're to be locked in on this. We're to be locked in on the Spirit and what he desires. God and the things of God are supposed to be our absorbing focus, our desire, our purpose, what we give ourselves to. Wow, how full on is that, right? So it's really important that we actually do get our expectations right with this. See, not only does Jesus set us free from the penalty of sin, the Spirit makes us alive and sets us free from the controlling power of sin. In Ray Gallier's book on Romans 8, he puts it like this. In Jesus, we no longer bear guilt, but we're also by the Spirit to bear fruit. The Christian life in response to Jesus really is a life of obedience and love and a transformed life. Check out how Romans starts, in fact, where it says this, through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. Look at how Romans finishes. But now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. Or in other parts of the Bible, like this one, and he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. The only Christian is the spiritually born again Christian. With the Spirit, we have our mind set on what the Spirit desires. Now let's drill into this some more today. Now, before we go any further with this, firstly, a word to the person who's investigating Christianity, that you're not a Christian. And then I want to say a word to the person who is a Christian. You know, firstly, to the person who's not a Christian, you know, you've yet to put your faith in Jesus. Maybe you're wondering about the cost of becoming a Christian. In fact, you know, you realize you worked out it's going to mean change, that you have to put to death the habits of greed or your ungodly sex life, or, you know, you've heard that Christians are different, you can see that, and you're wondering whether you're really going to be up for that. But I want to say this, when you put your trust in Jesus, you can count on it that when you get Jesus, you do get the Spirit as well. Now, the Spirit enables you to change. The Spirit enables you to want to change. He doesn't leave you where you are. You know, that's a word to a Christian, but now to a word to all of you who are Christian. And you know your struggles with sin. Think of how you, I don't know, seem to regularly have that response, you know, with your words and your mind. You know, there's someone in your life who just sort of seem to always have this response with your words or even just in your mind. I know what that's like. And they just bring that thing out in you, right? Or I'll just put this out there. Maybe you have a struggle with porn. That's your struggle as a believer in Jesus. I realize it's hard, but please, you don't need to ever think those thoughts, I will never change. Those words, I will never change, do not give credit to God who will never give up on you through the work of his Spirit in your life. You know, I could give so many stories, but I think of a young woman whose family background means that she would have reason to be angry, reason to be bitter with what she went through, but she's found Jesus. She knows that there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and now as a mum with her kids, she's leaning into being content and gentle and looking to pass on grace and not anger. Remarkable. I can think of a young guy whose treatment of women was not great, self-serving, and he admits that he was lazy and he was wasteful. And now that he's a Christian, he's a man of serious integrity, a leader to his family and a leader in other places too. God, by his Spirit, you see, does work to change his people from the inside out. I'll say it again. God, through his Son, Jesus, sets us free from the penalty of sin, and through the work of the Spirit makes us alive and sets us free from the power of sin, both the penalty of sin and the power of sin. So we have this, you know, you're one or the other. Those who live according to the flesh set their mind on what the flesh desires, or those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on what the Spirit desires. But I get it that this absoluteness, this one or the other, might make you feel a bit unsure, you know, especially when you think about, you know, the lives of those who aren't Christian, you know, who you know to be much nicer than those people you know who are Christian, who are in the Spirit. How does that work? Well, let me just say a few things on that. You know, firstly, if we know that Christian believers are accepted by God, nothing to do with their moral performance, you know, nothing to do with our wisdom, our moral virtue, but because of Jesus' death for us, then let's not be surprised, in fact, that we're going to find people, non-believers, who are nicer and kinder and wiser than we are. It's never been about who's better for those who get salvation in Jesus. So let's just expect that there are people who are going to be on the spectrum, even those people who are not Christian, they're going to have great virtue. That's one thing. The second thing, and I remember actually Pastor Tim Keller helped me with this, but everyone starts with the Spirit in a different place. Not everyone has the same stable family background. Not everyone has the same beautiful community around them. You know, I think of a guy, Stephen, who I know, and you know, he's a Christian. And if you met him and the way that he speaks and acts, maybe you wouldn't see him as the showcase of maturity and self-control and wisdom. But if you knew where he'd come from, maybe you'd realize actually the Spirit has done a powerful work in him. Maybe he's spiritually grown even more than that person than you know who's really nice. Every Christian starts with the Spirit in a different place. And here's the third thing. It's that God doesn't judge our outward behavior anyway. It's what's in the heart. In fact, go to our passage again. Have a look at verse 7. It says this, verse 7. The spirit governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. What this is saying is that the person we admire because of their high ethical standards won't change the fact that they're still an enemy of God. I think Kurt gave a similar illustration to this last week. But, you know, I can say in my marriage, I can treat my wife in so many loving ways. You know, I could give her breakfast in bed every morning. I could be a really good listener every time she tells me about the horrible day that she's had. I could do the grocery shopping every week. But if I'm having a sexual relationship with another woman, I am not loving her. I am hostile to her. So being in the flesh is not just breaking God's rules, it's breaking God's heart. We can look socially acceptable on the outside. We can do right things, but for the wrong reasons, without loving the true God and his son Jesus. It's always personal with God. So we can make these comparisons, can't we, between Christians and those who aren't. We wonder, how come Christians aren't better? Well, I've suggested three things to think about. It's not about our moral performance anyway. It's God's grace to us in Jesus. When the Spirit starts working in us, we start at different places, and it's about the heart. Good ethics don't change a person's spiritual hostility towards God. There are some things at place as we think about those who, you know, have the Spirit and have their mind centered on what the Spirit desires. Now, as we wrap things up, I don't want to leave you today without being hopeful for how the Spirit does work inside those who are believers in Jesus. He does change us. You know, sometimes I think we're so focused on our failures, we forget to be thankful for the good work that God is actually doing in us. So I'm going to express my thankfulness to God for what he's doing in you. You know, the fact that you're here on a Sunday morning when you could be at the beach, when you could be at the shops, you could be watching Netflix like everyone else, but you're here every week and you get along to growth group too. That's the work of the Spirit. Praise God. You know, the generosity that you financially give, you sacrificially give to gospel ministry, that's the work of the Spirit. Praise God. When I hear about that person who wants to make it a priority to meet with someone else, to read the Bible with them, to help them in their relationship with God, that's the work of the Spirit. Praise God. You know, that perhaps you have to endure pain, just excruciating physical pain, but you're persevering with joy. You're not wanting to be just withdraw into yourself, but actually be a servant of others. That's the work of the Spirit. Praise God. So we can judge people, view others according to what they do, how much they have, the education they've got, the house they live in, how socially adjusted they are, how kind and loving they behave. But our standing with God has never depended on that. Christ came to save sinners, those who are in the flesh. That truth cuts through everything. And so there's now just two types of people. Christians, those who have faith in Christ, they've been given the Spirit of God, and everyone else. It does mean that there's no neutral zone with God. There's no one who just has this passive indifference to God, just sitting on the fence. No, everyone is either living according to the flesh or living according to the Spirit. And for those with the Spirit, God is doing this ongoing work to change us. And for those with the Spirit, the change is ongoing. It's messy. It's the Spirit's work over a lifetime. But God is not only for us. God is working in us. Christ has freed us from the penalty of sin. And the Spirit has freed us from the power of sin. That's the truth. Isn't that wonderful? We can praise God. We should praise God for His work in our lives. Let's do that now.